Matthew chapter 25. Let's go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 25, and we'll continue our Left Behind series. Poke the bear. Go ahead. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore. For ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto the one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take, therefore, the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats, or his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye, blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee an hungered, and fed Thee, or thirsty, and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger, and took Thee in, or naked, and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick, or in prison, and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me not in. Naked, and ye clothed Me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or in sick, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto Thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not do it, or you did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Three parables in chapter 25. Jesus goes on then, speaking about this kind of readiness in the first. He has already caused them to be ready at the end of the last chapter, speaking to them about that faithful and wise steward who is not slothful and devolves into a poor administration of his stewardship, but keeps it fresh, keeps it alive by ministering as he ought. Now he goes on comparing five foolish virgins or unmarried women and five wise virgins or unmarried women. If we some have erred in this parable by saying things like, okay, hold on, let's hold up here. Does this mean that a man can have 10 wives? Right? Some people have gone down that road in this parable. That's not what the parable is designed to teach. And so we must be careful, remembering our basic hermeneutical understanding of parables, that we want to find the main thing the parable teaches and stick to that, and not get down into the weeds of how many wives can a husband have or any silly thing like that. The obvious truth that is being taught here is readiness and preparedness for the coming of the Lord. Readiness and preparedness. Now, if this applied, if this was spoken specifically and particularly to the disciples in this Olivet Discourse, as we think it was, there is an application to everyone of every age, as we said in the last reading, that our judgment day, in essence, comes when we die. We must be ready and prepared when we die, in other words. We will not, unless the Lord comes before we die, we will not be spared death. And it is appointed unto men once to die, and then comes the judgment. I know we like to put our deaths far from our thinking, and so on, and then when it comes in like a flood, we are overwhelmed often, rather than preparing for such days as those and being ready for them. So there are these five foolish virgins. They profess that they are ready to be married when the call comes, and yet they have not prepared. They have not put oil in their lamps. They are not going to be able to see the way to answer the bridegroom's call. They are not ready, although they say that they are. They are not prepared, although they think they are. They have not taken care of the first thing that they should have taken care of, which is, what if the bridegroom calls in the middle of the night? We're expecting his call to be in the broad daylight, where we can have these lamps as mere appendages and not useful items for us to make our way with. They believed that the call to the bridegroom would be easy. It would be easy to follow. They wouldn't need their lamps. There are five other virgins, and what do they say? They say, well, we don't know when it's going to be convenient for him. Convenient for him may be very inconvenient for us, but our hearts are given to the bridegroom, and so whenever he calls, we want to be ready under whatever circumstance that is. And so they make their way clearer that they will be ready to respond no matter what, because it's not about them, it's about the bridegroom. Now, we see some sloth here on the part of the five foolish virgins. We will also see sloth on the part of the third servant that receives only one talent. So if there is something to be said for both of those parables that is somewhat parallel, it would be the sloth and lack of preparedness. It would be considering, if you will, our own things rather than the things of the bridegroom. So, you know, we can go get oil anytime. It's not such a big deal. We don't really need oil. He's probably not going to come when it's such a strange hour of the night anyway. We don't need to worry about any of those things. Of course, it'll be according to our liking and expectations. May I say that kind of confusion often keeps the people of God from interpreting the signs of the times correctly as well. Like I've told you before, if in January of 2020 I would have stood up in this pulpit and said in 6 weeks 90% of our churches are going to be closed, you would have laughed me out of the pulpit. Yet that's exactly what happened. I didn't know it was coming any more than you did. But notice that obedience is often put to its test at the most inconvenient of times. And so here as well. They were unprepared. They were not ready. They were disobedient. They were self-focused. And so they were left behind. Very simple. The five wise virgins were ready. They had oil in their lamps. And the only other ringing indictment of the passage that we need to consider is that every one of us will stand, ready or not. I can't be ready for you, and you can't be ready for me. I can't give you of my oil, and you can't give me of yours. This is an individual responsibility that each of us have to be prepared to obey and to hear the call of the bridegroom and be ready to rise up and go, even at a moment's notice, at the most inconvenient of times, because we have been ready. We knew he was coming, and we behaved ourselves as such. That's the first parable. The second parable has to do with the parable of the talents, then. Three servants, one master, three gifts, five talents, three talents, or two talents, excuse me, and one talent. The word talent is simply a statement of weight in Scripture. It has to do with an amount of money. It works kind of interestingly for us as we use the word talent for things that we have that we're good at and things like that. But that's not really what it means. It is something of value, however. But notice that the talent that is given is not their own talent. It is the master's talent. And so because it is the master's talent, they are not free to do with it as they will. They must improve it. They can't simply use it like the third servant used it. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the first two men, the first two servants are commended because they took their master's talent, that worthy and weighty and valuable thing that he gave to them, and they treated it as his and not their own, such that they made an improvement of it. So then the question we're all faced with in this passage is, number one, there is a day of reckoning coming when we will give a reckoning of those graces that God has given to us, whether we traded with them and improved them or whether we did not. And that is true. That there is a day coming when those things will be brought to light and they will be judged. Jesus will go on to say, to whom much is given, much is required. Of course, this follows the pattern of this parable here, because the guy who has five gives five more. The guy who has two gives two more, and so on. To whom much is given, much is required. The guy that had two is not required to give five. He also will say, by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. So there is a day coming when these things will be brought to light. So the first two, they are commended. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. I will make you over, I will give you authority over much, right? I don't remember the exact reward here. Now let's see. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Remember, the joy of thy Lord means, number one, that because your Lord is rejoicing, you are also rejoicing. And number two, remember this, that even in this latter end of the story for the first two men, what do they receive? They receive more of the Lord's bounty to govern over. It's not that they receive their own. We are still servants on God's plantation, right? And we must indeed improve that area of service that we have. Now we come to number three. And coming to number three, there's something I think that many commentators miss that's very clear here. The first thing is, notice his conception of his Lord. He didn't like him much. He didn't care much for his Lord. He said, I knew you were a hard man, that you reap those things you didn't sow, and you gathered up where you didn't straw or plant, in other words. That you're kind of rapacious, aren't you? You're kind of greedy, aren't you? You're kind of, you know, unjust. In other words, you give people something, but then you require something in return. And you require it in such a way that if you don't get it, you're mad. I'm not sure I like you very much. What would you expect the service of such a servant to be toward his master? Exactly what the text says. Right? Exactly what the text says. The first two servants, it is implied in the text, I think, they loved their master. They had good things to say and good expectations from him. And when he came back, they had the pleasure of doubling his investment and giving that back to him, and understood that there would be a better return from him, that they would not be able to outgive, to be more generous than their master was. But that third steward, he doesn't have that attitude at all. He thinks, it doesn't matter what I do, when the guy comes back, I'm going to hear it. He has no conception of grace, no conception of mercy, no conception of kindness in this master. He simply believes he's a hard master. And so he does what any self-loving servant would do. He spends it on his own pleasures. He buries it in the earth. There is no spiritual use to his trading. He simply buries it in the earth. He invests it in that wood, hay, and stubble that will be burned up at the end of days. He will not trade for spiritual advancement over his master's talent. Instead, he will simply endeavor to give it back to him when he shows up, and then he'll have deniability because he said, here, I've just given you back what was yours. That's it. I didn't use it. I didn't touch it. I buried it in the earth. And I think that there is a metaphoric import to burying it in the earth. He spent it on his own pleasures and then gave it back. And so his master says, well, out of your own mouth then, I will judge you. You said I was a hard master. I will be a hard master to you. And so he is delivered to those who will lead him away to outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We are counseled then in this parable to think on our own thoughts, to examine our own hearts as to how we think of our Lord, of our Lord Jesus, whether we see him as a hard taskmaster or whether we see him as one who invites us to enter into his joy through serving him. We come to the third then. And the third is an extended parable. It's a little bit longer than the other two, fully 16 verses. We have the Son of Man coming or returning as a shepherd, dividing between the sheep and the goats. And of course, this is talking about the visible church. This is not talking about the rest of humanity. This is talking about the visible church. Remember, there is one flock spoken of here. It's the flock of Christ. The flock of Christ considered visibly, and how she has behaved herself, whether or not she has been that kind of flock that has evinced saving faith in Christ through godly action. This is not works righteousness. All I need to do is make sure I'm visiting the sick and feeding the hungry and giving drink to the thirsty, and then I'm in. No, that's not what's being said here. Faith in Christ issues in these kinds of works. So keep in mind, first of all, that Christ is a shepherd that divides. Christ is a shepherd that divides. He divides between cattle and cattle. And isn't it interesting that the Lord God himself in the Old Testament said to Moses, to the prophet, I will divide between cattle and cattle. Now Jesus says, there's a day coming when I will divide between cattle and cattle. This is no accident that Jesus uses this particular metaphor. And so what do we see? We see that those who truly belong to Christ, those who do his will, those who have faith in Christ, and that faith then issuing in good works are what? They are magnanimous. They are kind. They are sympathetic. They understand the needs of others, and they sacrifice themselves to meet those needs. So, I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Of course, we're not talking about imprisonment there in any sort of rebellious way. But then the righteous shall answer him, when did we do all of those things? And of course, the king will answer, in that thou hast done it unto the least of these my brethren, thou hast done it unto me. So serving the Lord's people is simply serving Christ. It can't be said any more explicitly than that. Serving the Lord's people is serving Christ. The Apostle Paul will teach us this of servants in Colossians chapter 3. Ye serve the Lord Christ in your labors, he says. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, he'll say the same thing. If your master is a brother, you serve him the more because he is a brother and partaker of the benefit. And the implication is you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ in that. Bringing a meal to a family. I know you folks do that. Please continue. But don't do it out of some quid pro quo. Do it serving Christ. This is the sign. This is a mark of true saving faith. Sacrificial service one for another. That's one of the marks of saving faith. That's what's said here. And then next, he turns to the goats, those who are on his left hand, and notice that they have none of those things to answer for them. None of them. They have not served Christ at all. They are like the parable before, where that man who didn't like his master very much simply served himself with regard to that talent. Now we see here that they will not serve Christ at all by not serving his people at all, and they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I just want to make sure that we understand that this is not Jesus dividing all of humanity before him. This is Jesus dividing his flock. He's dividing his flock. All right? Okay, with that then, let's stand.